go ahead and pray again. Nothing wrong with praying too much. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us, Lord, to come here before you and spend time with you, Lord, for the fellowship, for with each other, with you, Lord, and that we get to feel your spirit here, Lord, be here with you, Lord. We just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a little message that God has been speaking to me about. And it's actually kind of funny because I'm guilty of doing it even today and yesterday. I want to talk about time. It's been a very interesting subject for me. God has been speaking to me about my time and how I use it. And I'm going to share with you guys. I'm still working on these things, but hopefully this will help you, and hopefully it will help you. So I'm going to ask you a few questions, and I'm going to ask you to say them out loud. All right, answer them. I am a youth minister, so I do involve the youth a lot to speak out. So it's not a one-way communication, conversation. There we go. So I'm going to ask a question. How much time per month does an average American spend on social media? Anybody want to guess? 10 hours? 8 hours? I'm doing an average of per month. Per month. 50 hours. What did you say? 24 hours. Oh, no, you guys are overshooting it. It's actually 6.9 hours. 6.9 hours per month on average Americans spends on social media. That's still a lot. All right, so now how much time per month do you think the average American spends watching TV offline? So not Netflix, not Hulu, none of that stuff, just TV per month. What did you say? 150? 150? You guys are way overshooting it. 59 hours. 59.4 hours. Because you gotta average in that some people don't even watch TV. So it brings it way down the average. So, all right, so this one was kind of funny. What do you think is the peak time for watching TV online? So like Hulu, Netflix, YouTube, and that stuff. What time of the day? 6 p.m.? 7? 8? It's actually during the workday from 7 through 6 is the most time, like, so when people are at work. I think it was kind of funny. So, and then so if you add up all the, sorry. Somebody give me some water, please. All right, so if we add up all the minutes in America that people use on social media on July, if we add up all the minutes of the people who used it, how much time do you think that is? I'll give you a hint, it's in years. You guys won't overshoot this one, I'm pretty sure. It's 230,060 years. That's how much, if you add up all the minutes that people in the United States were on social media just in July, it's 230,000 minutes. That's a lot of time. All right, so this is the last one I have for you guys. Last question, should I say. How much time does the average American spend on Netflix alone? Just Netflix, not Hulu, just Netflix. Oh, sorry, per month. 45 hours. 45 hours per month. So, we live right now in a time where we want things instantly, instant gratification. I'm guilty of this. When the food is taking too long at McDonald's, especially like McDonald's, if the food takes too long, I get a little like, come on, it does not take that long to microwave a sandwich. This one gets me. I'm sorry if I like offend you on this one, but this one's one of my pet peeves. When people pay with coins in front of me, like at the checkout line, I just can't stand when people pay with coins. Like, there's one time that I actually just went and swiped my card because I didn't want to wait for them. I paid for them, but it was like I didn't want to wait for them to count coins, especially like it was like $1.87, and I was like, I know you want to get rid of your coins, but that's the one that gets me. And especially I see it a lot working with computers. I'm in the computer tech at the high school, and I see it a lot because teachers want their stuff instantly. Today, a printer wasn't working, and I ended up spending possibly 2 hours trying to make it work. And the teacher got, she didn't get mad, but she was upset, and she was like, well, I can't do anything, any work, I'm going home. So she left. And so I see that all the time, where people want their stuff instantly. But at the same time, and it's kind of funny, we're in a generation that loves to waste time. We want things quickly, but we love to waste time. So if we add up, I'm going to do a lot of math. But there's going to be a lot of math involved in this teaching. But it's okay. God likes numbers. If we add up the 6.9 hours from social media, the 59 hours from watching TV, the 45 hours from watching Netflix, that gives us 111 hours a month. If you add that up, if you divide it by how many? By 24 to figure out how many days it is, it gives you 4.5 days. That's 4.5 days wasted. But in reality, it's a lot more than that. Because how many hours a day are you active? You're not active the 24 hours. If you are, awesome. But you're not. In reality, you're probably active maybe 14 hours, 16 hours a day. And if you would divide that, the 111 by 14 hours, that's 8 days. So in other words, we wasted 8 days on average. On average, the American wastes 8 days. If we could turn to Psalms 90. Oh, I got to turn there too. Psalms 90. Verse 12. It says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. That's the ESV, right? Yeah. So teach us to number our days so we may get a heart of wisdom. Looking at this verse, I'm sure that if you really want to know, and it will really, really help your walk, you could ask God for how many days you have left on the earth, and he'll tell you. If it will really help your walk, but most likely it won't. So he won't tell you. So I don't think this is what it means. I think he's telling us to plan our days. Not necessarily to the second, but like to have an idea of what you're doing that day. Because there's three types of things when thinking about time. So there's the planner, the procrastinator, and the spontaneous person. I think all of these are important to each other, and none of them is better than none one is better than the other. But they might not all get along. I think, in my opinion, I think that the planner, the procrastinator, and the spontaneous are all good. They're okay. But the important part that a lot of times when speaking about planners, procrastinators, and spontaneous people is that how does God fit into each of those types of people? How does God fit into your planning? How does he fit in when you're procrastinating? How does he fit in when you're being spontaneous? So when this scripture says, so teach us to number our days, I think it's saying that teach us to live for a reason, to have a reason for each day, to not just go float. Yeah, that's a good run. Just float by. These three, the planner, procrastinator, spontaneous person, I could be all three on the same day. Especially yesterday, I did something that I probably shouldn't have done, and I knew I was going to regret it, and I regretted it today. I was at work, and tomorrow's the first day of school, so there's a lot of things going on that I have to get ready for, all the computer labs to be ready and stuff like that. And so I planned on Monday to finish everything Monday and Tuesday, because I knew on Wednesday we're going to have an orientation that was going to take, I don't know, what, 5 hours did it take? I think 5 hours sitting down. And on Tuesday, I was like, it was coming around 3:30, and I was like, you know what? I'll just leave it for tomorrow. I'm sure I have enough time to do that tomorrow to finish the rest of it. So tomorrow came, which is today, and it felt like everything went wrong. I had so many what we call emergencies when the teacher really needs their computer working, or an administrator's computer's not working, or something like that. We had a lot of those emergencies, and I did not get out of work until a little bit before 5, so right before we have praise and worship practice here, rehearsal, we call it, because we're not practicing, we're actually going into it. And we're here, and so I just run home, get my guitar, and then we come over here. So I was in a rush all day, and so I reaped procrastination, and I got whatever you call this. So Ephesians 5,5:15 through 17. All right, it says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand the will of the Lord, what the will of the Lord is. I'm Like all these people I'm giving you an example of, like this whole scripture, it's me. Like I'm the example being made of. So like let's go back to, I don't know, high school. For some of you that might have been a long time. Some of you not that long. But let's go back to high school. Did you ever have to take a test that you had to study for? But you didn't. And I remember I would come here at youth group and say, I would come and ask for prayer like, oh, I'm having a test. God, please give me wisdom. But I never studied for the test. And I would just come and pray, God, give me wisdom. Now I realize that I always had that wisdom. I had that wisdom because I knew about the test. I knew what it was about. And I knew when it was. I had the time and the resources to study. So I had the wisdom about the test, but I was not wise in studying for it. So I did not study for it. I feel like that. Okay. And so I guess Ivan, or anybody who's taking tests anytime soon. So you too, I guess. Oh, you have school. God already gave you the wisdom to do all the tests, to ace all the tests. You just have to put it to practice. Remember that. The verse says to live wise. What verse was that? I forgot. Verse 15 says, not to live unwise, but wise. I think this relates to time management as how you spent your hours, what you spend doing throughout the day. Because what you spend doing your hours, it turns into days, your days, 2 weeks, your weeks, 2 months, your weeks, 2 years, or months, years. I forgot. I lost order. But it becomes a habit on how you use your time. Make the most of every opportunity. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord is willing, what the Lord will is. I like in the voice, the version of the Bible version of the voice, it says, don't be an idiot. It was just plain and simple. Don't be an idiot. Make the best use of your time. I was like, okay, don't hold back, Jesus. Just fine. Tell me how you really feel. But it says, understand what the will of the Lord is. And this is just a reminder for everybody. How do we know what the will of God is? We know it by spending time, by praying, and all that cool stuff, by worship and stuff, right? Right, reminder. Well, we should know this. If we don't, now you know. The more time you spend listening, the easier it is to know what he's saying. Like, the more time you spend with a person, you start to pick up on what certain things mean. Like, I know if Lucy makes a face now, not to say anything. Or be careful on what you say next type face. And I'm sure a lot of you guys, the more time you spend with somebody, you start noticing things. Little hints. Switching gears a little bit, I'm going to speak about tithing time. Tithing usually talks about some kind of income, where it be, if cows are your income, I guess beef would be the first fruit or vegetables and stuff. So in this modern time, it's usually used about money. But what I think it still applies to pretty much anything. So let's put it in perspective about tithing our time. So let's go tithing is 10%. Here's more math. So 10% of 24 hours is 144 minutes. So that's 2 hours and 24 minutes. It sounds like a lot, doesn't it? Like, do I really have to give God 2 hours and 24 minutes? Because that sounds like a lot. Well, the current Marvel movies and superhero movies are way longer than that. I think the shortest one is like 2 hours and 30 minutes. But I'm going to break it down for you on what you can do each day, and it will be your 2 hours and 24 minutes. So let's say you start off your day with 30 minutes of worship. That's not long. Like, we literally had 1 hour of worship just right now. I don't know for you. It didn't feel like an hour to me. I don't know about you guys, but it didn't feel like an hour to me. And say we'll add maybe a 30 minutes of reading the word, not just anything, not like newspaper, but the word. And maybe spend 15 minutes just listening to God, what he has to say. And maybe another 15 minutes praying in tongues, or just praying in general. That's 1 hour and 30 minutes. You have like about less than an hour left. This is where I think it's really fun, because you get to experiment with this one. You could download sermons and listen to them wherever you are. You'll be hearing the word of God, listening to the word of God. You could download sermons here from this church website, faithministriesmexico.org. You could download sermons. I'm a little bit behind, but they're there, and there's plenty of them from throughout the years. From, I believe I saw one the other day from one of the reunions, the family reunions we used to have. There's countless of stuff. And if you don't want to listen to one of these again, you can listen to it at all the other churches. Elevation Worship, Jesus Culture, Bill Johnson has a bunch of them. Pretty much any church that you've heard of has sermons online now. The average sermon on here on the website is about 45 to 60 minutes. You listen to those throughout the day. You do those things that I said. So 30-minute worship, 30-minute reading, 15-minute listening, and 15 minutes praying, and listen to one of the sermons a day. You're way over your time, the tithing time, quote unquote. And that's not a lot. It's really easy to do. And then it's really cool because you come on Sunday and Wednesday, and you add even more time. You give even more of your time to God. Because today is we do usually an average about 1.5 hours. So if you've already read your word today, you worship today, you're already over your 10% of time. But then you don't have to do these all at once, like as soon as you wake up. You can if you want, but you could spread it out throughout the day. And I think that's, when you spread it out throughout the day, I feel it's like taking like a granola bar and eating it throughout the day so you won't get grumpy. And so you might think, well, I just got off of work and I don't want to think, because I say it all the time. I told that to Lucy. I come home and she asked me a bunch of questions, and I go, I don't know. I don't want to think. I spent all day thinking about computers, thinking, trying to figure out problems. And I don't want to think. And I've said that before. But it's perfect. This situation is perfect. Worshiping God, that's a perfect time. Because in praying in tongues, you don't use your mind. You don't think when you pray in tongues. When you're worshiping God, it's not about how good you think. Sorry. When you worship God, it's about how good he is, not how you think you feel. I wrote it down, and I was going to classrooms today, and I wrote it down, and I thought it was really cool. I don't know if I've heard it before, but it just came to me. But it says, I put, worshiping God is about how good he is, not about how good we feel. And I just thought, I was like, ooh, that's pretty good. I wonder where that came from. Worshiping God is about how good he is, not how good we feel. But when we tithe our time, we start giving our time to God. Somehow, I don't know, the math doesn't add up. We get more time. I'm not saying you get more 24 hours in a day, but somehow things get done quicker and better. I'm going to challenge you guys, because I like challenging people, to volunteer here at the church. I think most of you already do. Sow the time into this church. There's many, 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 many ways that you could help. Anything from, for me, I don't know where the children's ministry stands, taking down the children's ministry stuff, the VBS stuff. Painting, I could guarantee those paintbrushes, when you take them off, it's going to take off some paint. Hey, there's some paint that needs to be done. There's stuff outside that needs to be done. There's a bunch of stuff, like, kind of blanking out on them right now. But anywhere from children's ministry to kids ministry to the nursery to the youth ministry, for even to praise and worship ministry, we're needing volunteers. We want people to get active, to be here, to feel part of something, and we want you to be a part of something. So I challenge you to sow your time, and you'll reap something that you'll need. If you don't need time, you probably reap something else you need. So let's go to James 4:14. This one's kind of rough. It's kind of tough. It was a hard one for me to put in, because it feels kind of like a downer. James 4:14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Depending on how you're feeling, this scripture could be totally two different things. So maybe you should use your Jesus goggles for this. You can either see it in two ways. You could see it as, I'm not important. Or you could see it as, I have a limited time here, so I better best make the best of it. Society tells us that we are to enjoy, in order to enjoy life, we have to be spontaneous. I don't know why every time I say spontaneous, I have to wave my hand. I don't know why I do that. It happens automatically. To go with the flow, to... Many people live that way, but it's not necessarily true. You don't have to be spontaneous to be happy. You need spontaneous, but you also need order. Where I know a little bit, I feel like I know a little bit more experience is about worship. Playing planned songs versus spontaneous songs. We kind of had that today. Where the song Holy Spirit, the first chorus that we sang, I didn't plan that out at all, actually. And I was trying to signal to the other guys the chords, but it worked out anyways. But if I don't give them when going into those spontaneous moments, if I don't give them a platform or something to go off of, they could get lost and ends up them not necessarily knowing what to do. And it kind of breaks that spirit, that spontaneous moment. It hinders them from worshiping. So that, yes, the spontaneous was good, but if I don't have order, if I don't have some planning, it won't work out. Some of us work, I think most of us work, like a Monday through Friday job. So some of us go to school, or Ivan's going back to school, Lucy's going back to school a little later. If we're not careful with our time, when we go back into our routine, where our job routine, it slips by and we just float. The summer for me, I don't know if for me it felt like the shortest summer ever. I feel like I didn't have enough time to fix all the computers, but I did. I just didn't manage my time right. I feel like I got really little done throughout the summer. I had a bunch of plans. I was going to do this, I was going to do that, but I feel like I did very little. So it's important to manage our time. So I'm going to give you 3 tips to managing our time. First one is, put your priorities straight. There we go. Find another words. Prioritize the things in your life. There we go. What needs more time? Your family? Figure out what needs more time. Because it could change. It could change throughout in weeks, days. It could change. So we need to keep checking it. What needs more time? Your family? Your friends? Your work? Church? Sleep, school, prioritize what needs the things in your life. Number 2, this one I really, really like. It's put God in the center of everything. And I know it's just like little words on play on words, I guess. A lot of people say put God first, but the way I see that, if we put God first, when we go to number 2, we leave God behind. So like say, God's number 1 in my life, and then number 2 is my family. But then when we deal with our family, we don't bring God into our family. So the way I like to see it, the way it helps me remember, is put God in the center. Put God in my family. Put God in my work, in school, in whatever, in sleeping. I'm sure you could do that. I don't know how, but I'm sure you can. And number 3 is hold yourself accountable. Ask God to help you to do all the things that you need to do. Ask him to manage your time. Ask him to help you manage your time. Then once God has told you what you should do in a day, get somebody to hold you accountable to that, now I'm not going to say schedule, but to that plan. If you are planning, say, I'm going to read 3 chapters a day for a month, and that's what God told you to do, ask somebody to keep you accountable, to keep checking up on you and say, did you read your 3 chapters today? Did you do this today? Hold yourself accountable and find somebody to hold you accountable too. I'm going to share a little testimony about volunteering and tithing. So a lot of you may know my story. A lot of you Some of you may, some of you may not, but I'm just going to share a little bit about it. For the longest time, up until maybe 2 years ago, I couldn't work in the United States legally. But whenever I did make money, I tithe. And whenever, since I didn't work, I had a lot of time on my hands. So I had a lot of time, so I volunteered a lot here at this church. Well, at least I feel like I volunteered a lot. And when while doing that, tithing, when I had very little, like, I would tithe like 50 cents type thing, very little. And just being faithful with tithing and volunteering and doing what was needed to do here. I felt like God gave me more. And little by little, every job that I got, every job that I got from the Goodway Cafe for cooking to SPEDIA at an elementary school to a SPEDIA at the middle school to a computer tech at the high school, all those checks doubled from what I made at Goodway Cafe doubled when I went to Joe Carlson. And from Joe Carlson, when I went to Huber, my paycheck doubled. From Huber to high school, it doubled. I don't know how that happened. But being faithful, tithing, is the only thing that I know that had an effect on how I'm living today. It just works. There's even to the point where I got a new car given to me. It was free. All I needed to pay was the registrations for the license, but hey, that's not much. So no matter how much you make, no matter how much time you have, I encourage you to give your time, to give tithe. Because when you do, you'll always have enough for what you need. Another testimony, more recent, I had to renew my work visa this year. I have to renew it. It expires in December. And I sent it about a month ago, and I got it returned to me, sent a rejection letter last week. And it said, you did not have the proper payment for this. And so they returned it, and I was like, oh my gosh, how much more money am I going to need? This, like, I don't know, this is going crazy. I don't know where I'm going to get the money from. And so I went to the guy who fixes my papers, the lawyer, and we're looking, and we find that there's an error on USCIS website, that there's an error, and they put the wrong amount. I actually paid way more than I needed to. It's just, I just think it's funny that how God turns those things around. But I could almost guarantee, if I was not a tither, if I didn't invest in this church, it probably would have been up. The price would have had to gone up. I could guarantee it. So just, that was, when did I send that paperwork? I sent the paperwork in on Tuesday, yesterday, right? And so that was just a few days ago. So it still happens. It's not something that stories you hear about 20, 30 years ago. It happens now. So just remember, when you give your time, whatever you give, expect God to show his nature. Right. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to be here before you, Lord. And just be blessed, Lord. And be blessed by you, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you'll help us give. You'll help us manage our time. You'll help us to do what you want us to do, Lord. To do your will, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll go through us for the rest of this week, for the rest of our lives, Lord, for the rest of this time, Lord, and we'll be able to do what you want us to do, Lord. And I just thank you for that. Lord, help us go forth, Lord. Help us go forth and tell people about you, Lord. Let us not be shy about that, Lord. Let us not be shy about your love, Lord, about your reckless love, Lord. And I just thank you for that, for your guiding power, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.